The Boston Red Sox lost last night, but outfielder Carl Crawford was cheered at Fenway Park after he hit a home run against the Detroit Tigers. But at a minor league game earlier this summer, an off-duty police officer from Leominster, Massachusetts, taunted Crawford, who's African-American, with a racial slur. It cost the cop his job, but it also informed a lot of people about the secret meaning of the word he used. He called Crawford Monday. Yes, Monday, the day of the week, a way for people to secretly use the N-word. Ben Zimmer writes about language for the Boston Globe. He wrote about this case and more. Ben, Monday as a racial slur, where does that come from?
There's evidence of it being used back to 2004, and the rationale that is often given is that everybody hates Mondays.
Well, in fact, here's how comedian Russell Peters explained it to a mostly black audience at Def Comedy Jam. We'd had to bleep some of it, obviously, but let's listen.
I was in Boston last week, and I was talking to this white dude. Now, this is what I mean about white people being real clever with their racism. I was talking to this white dude. He goes, so you're living out there in L.A. now, right? And I go, yeah. He goes, what are you doing out there? You doing any TV or anything like that? I go, actually, yeah, I'm doing Def Jam. Oh, really? Isn't that for the Mondays? I go, what? They call black people Mondays. Why do you call black people Mondays? And I swear on my father's grave, this guy goes, because nobody likes Mondays.
And this was back in 2008, Ben. So obviously you've been around, and he's alluding to something that you found, too, that it may have started here in Boston.
Yes, it's been entered into Urban Dictionary, and you can't always trust everything you find on Urban Dictionary, but there were a number of entries for Monday with this meaning, and there was one claim that it originated in Boston. I've seen other references to it that talk about it being more of an East Coast phenomenon, and that may also explain how Carl Crawford was familiar with it, because that clip from Russell Peters ended up being circulated on YouTube quite a lot.
But as you write, it's only the latest in a long line of covert racial slurs. In 2004, a paper was written by some researchers called Dining While Black, Racial Rituals in the Black American Restaurant Experience. And these sociologists, Daniel Dirks and Stephen Rice, wrote about backstage race talk among white restaurant servers. What were some of those code words?
The most popular one is the term Canadians to refer to black people. And the explanation given for that is that Canadians have a reputation for being bad tippers, as do black people, according to the stereotypes that white restaurant servers have. So that you could use this term Canadians to refer to a table of black customers when you didn't want to be bluntly referring to their race.
You say that, you know, some of the other words that the waiters used might be cousins, but also, as you write, for maximal misdirection, white people?
Yeah, so the idea there would be, you could say, you know, look at a bunch of white people or something like that when you're actually referring to black people, to confuse people who don't know that you've developed a code where you're actually really referring to the opposite of what you're talking about.
Well, and Jews have historically been the target of these hidden insults. Give us examples.
Well, one epithet that's been used for Jews is Eskimo, and you might wonder what Eskimos have to do with Jews. Well, there was another name hurled at Jews, which was Ike Mo, short for Isaac Moses, again, a sort of stereotypical Jewish name. So you could see how you could get from Ike Mo to Eskimo just from the similarity of the sound.
You say the true masters of this kind of oblique insult, where you don't even know you're being insulted, are the Cockneys who live in London's East End, where the Olympics are taking place. What are you picking up there?
Well, there's a tradition of what's called rhyming slang. So if they're referring to an American, they might normally call that person a Yank. But what do you do if you don't want that person to know that you're referring to them? Yank rhymes with Sherman tank or septic tank. But then you can actually remove the rhyming word. So all you're left with is Sherman or septic. And that's the code. Referring to Jews, for instance, you could say buckle my shoe or kangaroo or pot of glue.
What? How would that, if it was racist and addressed at blacks, what would that be?
Well, for the N-word, through rhyme, there's mechanical digger or square rigger. Again, they're just sort of looking for rhymes which, you know, might be concealed. Those don't seem terribly concealed. You can pretty quickly figure out what they're trying to rhyme it with. It's a kind of language play that's used to hide this bigotry or prejudices against other people.
Well, is it still hidden? I mean, you know, so here we have people here who weren't aware of this word Monday, now aware of it because of the Red Sox player, Carl Crawford, you know, being called Monday. What happens once the word is revealed? Does it morph into another word or another phrase?
It's true that these code words only work as long as they remain coded. And
yeah.
So if they're flushed out into the open, as has been the case with Monday, for instance, then perhaps it no longer works as code. Even in something like Canadian, for instance, has actually gotten some attention over the years, so much so that when I look online for people talking about what words to use, some people say, well, we shouldn't use Canadian anymore because they know about it already, so they suggest other words like Norwegian. Languages very flexible in this way and can be used for good and bad purposes.
Well, you know, the other thing I'm thinking is that if everyone used it, like if I said to my white colleague, you are so Monday, it takes the sting out of it too.
That's true. And in fact, when the police officer was accused of this, there were family members who said that it wasn't meant in a racial way. It was simply supposed to be a commentary on how Red Sox fans felt about Carl Crawford as a baseball player.
Oh.
But an internal investigation found other racist terms, and so that explanation ended up not holding much water.
Right. So your takeaway from this is that words can be weaponized, but they can also be disarmed. But, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, just shining the light on it. If I'm an employer and I've got waiters and I hear them discussing the Canadians or Norwegians or whatever it is at table one, and I look out and I see that they're African-American, you know, those people, I'm hoping, are out of a job. I mean, in other words, just letting more people know about it is probably a good thing.
Yes, and I think that something like the Russell Peters routine actually did help to bring this to people's attention. And now with this latest incident, that there is this covert racial talk going on, and we do need to recognize that that's part of this racial discourse in the country, which sometimes is not so pretty.
Ben Zimmer writes about language for the Boston Globe and is executive producer of Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com. Ben, thanks as always.
Thank you.
So do you know other covert words? Let's disinfect them with some sunshine at herenow.org or at facebook.com/herenowradio, where, by the way, click the like button and we'll keep you in the loop about upcoming stories like Ambie Burfoot on track and field. He's next, Here and Now.